Good morning, everyone. I hope you have a wonderful day. We continue. We left off. We are in the first chapter of Metzia. We are in 8, the top of 8A. And yesterday we learned, Avalaza said that if one of them holds on to the document, is holding on to the typhus, and the other one is holding on to the Torah, the Torah is to have all the specifics, the dates, and the Torah is the standardized text. So he says, so this one gets the Torah, and this one gets the Torah. He says, what does that mean? Right. What does that mean? So he says, not you rip it up and he gets this half of the paper, he gets that of the paper. It's worthless. It means he gets what's the document worth, just having the typhus. And the typhus, the regular standard text, at the bottom you repeat whatever is written. So it's written over there, the fact that there is a loan. But the date is on top. The date is in the Torah. And that's much more valuable. That's the most valuable part, because without the Torah, the properties are not become mortgageable. Right. If you don't have the exact time, then you can't mortgage it, because maybe it's only mortgageable if you have a specific time, and then anything that was purchased afterwards is already mortgaged to pay this loan. But if there's no date, maybe the loan happened today and I bought it yesterday, so you can't pay. So therefore, it's worth a lot less. Of course, I have a document that you owe me money, but it's worth a lot less because I can't. It's not mortgageable. If you don't have any cash, I can't collect. Versus if I have the title, the one who has the title, who has the specific date, anything that was purchased after is mortgageable. So whatever is the typhus. So the one who has the typhus takes what the document would be worth without the date. And the rest, what the document is worth more because it has a specific date, and now all of his properties, the borrower's properties, are mortgageable from that date on, that you give to the one who's holding on to the date. And when he says divided, he means money, financially. And he tries to prove it from the Mishnah, because it says in the Mishnah, two people are holding on to a cloak, to a garment, you divide it. He says, what do you mean? You're going to divide it? You're going to rip it up in half? You're going to ruin it? So surely it means financially, you sell it and then you split the money. Gemara says, no, it's not a proof from the Mishnah. Maybe the Mishnah means literally. Because, yes, you take a big suit, you cut it in half, it's still good for, the trial, the pants, so it'll still fit the kid. Yeah. So the Gemara asks the first line, that if it was a golden talus, you divide it. The palgulu, you're going to split it down the middle of Sidur, you're going to ruin it. But it's like, gotcha. Yeah, maybe it's not a question. Maybe it means literally you cut it down the middle. Like we said earlier, you cut it down the in a way that everyone gets half of the gold. But nevertheless, the chazalim named Lachin, it still fit for little children, for princes, for the prince. It's a small suit, a small dress will still fit the princes. Thank you, about it. Nah, but we learned the Mishnah, Yishnayim Reichman Agabehema. We learned in the Mishnah that if two people were riding the animal, the first Mishnah, Hakinami the Palgile, what are you going to cut the animal in half? You're going to ruin it. You're destroying the animal. Then if I get half of the animal, I get a stake, but I'm not getting the value. I say it's my animal, and this one says my animals. What are you going to? So Bishleim Tehira Chazil Abasan. If it's a kosher animal, okay, at least it's good for the steaks. El Tameya, but if it's a non-kosher animal, I have to do it. The only thing it's good for is when it's alive. I can ride it. I can use it. If you're gonna kill it, it's worthless. El Adami, you have to say it's for financially. You divide it. You sell it and you split the money. So Achinami Adami. So too, the rest of the mission, when it says you divide, it means you divide it financially. Not you cut the garment in half. Okay, Amar Rav Chama says, it's a Mishnah that says that two people lift up a lost item. They divide it. This teaches us, Hamagbi, as they say, Meres, this Mishnah teaches us a law. Hamagbi, Metzila Chaveda, Kana Chaveda, that if you lift up something for your friend, not for yourself, you're lifting it up and you're acquiring it for your friend acquires it. If you're going to say that I can only lift up a lost item for myself, I can acquire it for myself. but I can't acquire it for someone else because I'm taking it away from anyone else who can find it. I don't have a right. I have a right to take it for myself, but I don't have a right to acquire it for someone else. So if that's the case, so then it should be considered as if it's still lying on the ground. No one acquired it. Neither of them should acquire it. How can you say you split it because they both acquired it? Because what are you saying? We're assuming that they both picked it up. This one thought that he picked it up first. The other one thought that he picked it up first. We say what really happened is they picked it up together and they both acquired it. How can they both acquire it? Because each one thinks I'm picking it up for myself and for my friend. I get half, my friend gets half. We're picking it up together. But if I cannot acquire it for my friend, then my friend cannot acquire it for me, then no one acquired it. Then it should be a free-for-all. No one should get it. So this teaches us, no, that when we yitzil chaveda, kana chaveda. Again, we're not talking about the part of the garment that each one is holding on to. We said the part of the garment that each one is holding on to, it's theirs, it belongs to them. But the part that neither of them are holding on to, we say you divide it. So each one picked it up for himself and for his friend. But if he can't pick up a lost item and acquire it for his friend, so his lifting up for his friend didn't acquire it. The other one lifted up for him, he didn't acquire it. So nobody acquired it. So therefore, it should be a free-for-all. It was never acquired. The part that the garment they're not holding, neither of them acquired. Unless you say that when I lift up a lost item, I have the ability to lift it up not only for myself but for someone else, and they acquire it. So then, when he picks it up, I'm picking it up for both of us. Then it's a good acquisition. Each one acquired. Somebody of it ever says no. Leilam, it's not a proof. I can tell you that it really, if you lift up a lost item. Unless you acquire it for yourself. You could acquire it for yourself, but you cannot acquire it for your friend. The reason here why is acquisition helps. Since he's acquiring it for himself, and he has a right to acquire it for himself, so he also has a right to acquire it for his friend. Say that he can't acquire it for your friend. If you lift up a lost object, why can't I be his agent? It's a good thing for my friend. Even without his knowledge, I could become an agent if I know my friend would be very happy. I can become an agent without his knowledge.
Who owned the coat?
No, it was lost. It's generally lost. But why can't I? Distinction. I could acquire it for myself, but I cannot acquire it for others. Why not? It's advantageous for the other if I'm acquiring for him. Why not? Why can't I act as his agent? Because you're disadvantaging anyone else who can find it. When could you act advantageously for one person if it doesn't adversely affect anyone else? Here, it adversely affects other people. So therefore, in this case, I can't act as an agent to advantageously acquire it for someone else if you're adversely hurting other people. Versus, if I acquire it for myself, I come first, you know.
What if you say you're acquiring it?
In our case of the talis, in our case, since you acquire half for yourself, so since you're allowed to acquire for yourself, therefore I'm also allowed to acquire the other half for my friend, and vice versa. The friend picks up, since he acquires his half, he also lifts up and he also acquires the other half for his friend. Teda, I'll prove to you that if you acquire for yourself and for your friend, since you acquire it for yourself, it's a good acquisition, I can also acquire it for my friend. Shilo Amar. A person said to his agent, say gnoivli, go steal for me. And he steals. Pater, right? The sender is not liable. Because ain't shliach advar aveda. You can't make an agent to sin. He can say, yes, I asked you to represent me, but who are you going to listen? You can listen to me, you can listen to the boss, you can listen to Hashem.
Right.
So you shouldn't have listened to me. Yeah, so therefore, right. You stole it. I didn't steal it. You're responsible.
100%.
Nevertheless, we say, Shutun Shaganvu, if two partners steal together, they both lifted it up together. It was very heavy. And they lifted it up and they stole it. Chayavin, they have to pay double. They have to pay. They're both liable. And they have to pay the principal plus a penalty. They have to pay 200%. My time, why? Lav, isn't it not Mishrum? Because I'm reading, we say, since he acquired it for himself, he lifted it up for himself, he can also acquire it for his friend. So we see that even in a place where you can't represent your friend, for example, in this case, it's a sin. A place where you're not allowed to represent your friend, you can't represent your friend, you can't act as an agent, you don't represent your friend. Nevertheless, here we say that you are representing your friend. When you lifted it up and your friend lifted it up, he's also representing you. You're both full partners in the whole thing. Why? Because since you're representing yourself, since you're stealing yourself, so therefore, since it's effective for yourself, so simultaneously it's also effective for your friends. Also over here also. Even though in general when I lift up a lost object, the owner gave up hope, disappeared from, I cannot acquire it from my friend. I could only acquire it for myself. But in this case, since I'm acquiring for myself, half of it for myself, so also have the power to also acquire it, the other half for you. Amar Rav says, it's a proof. Yes, it is a proof. Now you say, I'm in the migoy. We say migoy. That since you acquire it for yourself, you also acquire it for your friend. So cheder is a deaf mute. Who's considered like a retarded, or pikeach together, and with an intelligent person, a mature adult together, should be a metziah that they both lift up an object together. And therefore, biblically, his acquisition is worthless; it means nothing. But the rabbi said to keep the peace that he can lift it up for himself, but he can't lift it up for anyone else because he's a deaf mute. It's like retarded. He's a deaf mute. He can't pick it up for anyone else, but he could pick it up for himself and it's considered a valid acquisition. So therefore we say, since his acquisition is effective for himself, so he can also, in this case, he can also lift it up. It's a valid acquisition for his friend.
As long as for himself.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Bishlam, that's all good. Cheresh, Kana, the Gemagwele, but it says, wait a minute. The reason why he acquires it, even though he's a deaf mute, because the other half is being lifted by a Bendas, a mature adult. So, besides his half, in other words, in order for this acquisition to be good, valid, it has to be totally lifted up the ground. If you lift up a half a garment and the other half is sitting on the ground,
you didn't do anything.
So the only way that you're lifting up is worth anything is because your friend lifted it up for you.
Or half and you took half.
Yeah, so but he has to lift it up for you. So your acquisition is a total, your lifting up is a total lifting and you acquire half. His lifting up is a total lifting and he acquires his half. So you have to work jointly. You have to lift up for yourself and for your friend, and your friend has to work for yourself and for your friend. So in this case of the deaf mute, so we understand why the deaf mute acquires, because the intelligent one, the other half, who's picking up the other half, he has a mind for himself. He's lifting it up for him and for you. So his lifting is good for you and for the deaf mute and for himself. But how does the intelligent one, his lifting, the deaf mute's lifting, is meaningless? Regarding the intelligent one, his lifting is the enactment of the rabbis is only for the deaf mute himself. But the deaf mute, but as far as the intelligent one is concerned, the other half is still lying on the ground. The deaf mute's lifting means nothing.
Right,
it means nothing, so it's still sitting on the ground. So he never lifted anything. So he doesn't acquire anything. Elaim is just the opposite. Cheresh kan pekeach leikan. That in this case, the deaf mute does acquire it. Because the intelligent one lifts it up. He lifts it up. His lifting is a good lifting. So for the deaf mute, the entire garment was lifted up. So it was a good acquisition. But the intelligent one, the mature one, his lifting is means nothing because the other half is still lying on the ground. Because the deaf mute's lifting is not effective. My migui. So what's the migui that the Rav says? The migui, the shnei charshim ba'almakon and amakon. It's just like if two deaf mutes would lift it up together, right? They would both acquire it. It would help. Right? It would help. Since the rabbis enacted that it's a good lifting, for themselves. So therefore, since they consider the lifting up for themselves, so it's also considered the lifting for his friend, that the entire garment was lifted up. So it's effective. So therefore we say that even in this case, where it was a deaf mute together with an intelligent one, a mature one, and for the intelligent one, he doesn't acquire anything, because the deaf mute's lifting doesn't help. It's as if it's still lifting for the considered the ground. But since if he was deaf mute, it would be good for the deaf mute. It would be good for both of them. So we say that for the deaf mute, the lifting of the mature one is considered the lifting for the deaf mute, as if the entire garment was effectively lifted off the ground, and he does acquire his half. The Gemara says, "Hi, my. How could you compare the two? Im tim zalem." When do you say that you will lift up something for your friend? If you're going to say, like Rama Bachama says, that I have the power to acquire for my friend a lost item, even though it's a disadvantage to everyone else who could have found it, but nevertheless I have the power to represent him and to lift it up for him and to acquire it for him. Hani Milu, when do you say this? That's only if you lift it up because you had a mind for your friend. You had a mind to lift it up for your friend. But hi, in this case, the normal one, he lifted it up to acquire it for himself. If he doesn't acquire it, I never lift it up for you. I lift it up for myself. But I lift it up, that we're lifting it up together. So you get half, I get half. But if I don't acquire it, if the normal one doesn't acquire it, I'm not lifting it up for you. I never lift it up just for you. So therefore, his lifting is nothing. He's not lifting it up. Even according to Rama Bachamu, says, I have the power to acquire for my friend. That's only if I intend to acquire it for my friend. But here I'm intending primarily to acquire it for myself. And because I intend to acquire it for myself, so my lifting is a lifting, and I'm lifting it also for you. But if you're saying that my lifting it up for myself is worthless, I don't get anything, I'm surely not lifting it up just for you. So therefore, as far as the deaf mute goes, it was never lifted up, it's still lying on the ground. So the deaf mute should also not acquire anything. Elaim rather say, no one gets it. Since the normal one doesn't acquire it, because the lifting of the deaf mute is nothing in comparison to, it's not considered a good acquisition, a good lifting. So therefore, as far as the normal one goes, is concerned, the other half is still lying on the ground. So if the other half is still lying on the ground, so therefore he doesn't acquire it. If he doesn't acquire it, then his lifting up, I'm not lifting up for the deaf mute. So the deaf mute, it doesn't acquire it because the other half is still lying on the ground. Now, why is it different if two deaf mutes lifted up and then it would be good? The answer is, the rabbis made an enactment. That they should be able to acquire it for themselves. Because otherwise, there's going to be a fight. If they acquire, make an acquisition, and biblically the acquisition is meaningless. So after they acquire it, someone's going to come and take it from them. It's going to lead to World War III. But hach over here won't lead to any fight. Meimer Amma, the deaf mute will say, "Bikeach lekani anoy akni." If the normal one doesn't acquire it, the court takes it away from the normal one. So I should acquire it. I'm not better than normal. If you treat me less than normal, that normal people could acquire, you tell me that I cannot acquire, that would lead to war. That would lead to a fight. But if in this case no one acquires it, so that's fair. Fear is fair, so he's not going to protest. So there's no reason to make an enactment. Where did Rav Chama learn his din? He said, from our Mishnah, you learn that a magvi, a metzila chaveda, if someone lifts up an item, a lost item, for someone else, he can acquire it for someone else. Which law in the Mishnah did he learn it from? Name, if you're going to say, made Asia from the opening of our Mishnah, says Shnai Mechzim Metalis, two people holding on a talis, and this one says, I found it. And the other one says, I found it, and we divide it, and we say, because we assume. So, but how can you learn from there? Each one claims, I found it. I was the first one to find it, and I lifted up the whole thing. That's why he acquires it. Not because they both acquired it together, they both lifted it up together, and therefore each one is lifting it up for his friend. It shouldn't be considered as if it's still dragging on the ground, if he never lifted up anything, because the whole garment has to be lifted up. No, each one says, I lifted it up entirely on my own. So it's not because we both lifted up together. Ella, rather, the proof is, Madik Tani, from the continuation of the Mishnah. He says it's all mine. Why do you have to add it? You already said. He says, I found it. He says, I found it. Why do you have to add another case? He says, it's all mine. It's all mine. That's what he means. I found it first. Okay, I understand it's all mine. Ella, Mishni said it from this excellent Mishnah. So previously we answered, the Gemara is going to ask. Mishni said from this excellent Mishnah, Shmamina comes to teach me. It's coming to teach me this law. So this from this extra clause is coming to teach me this extra case that the reason we say because I would think that you make him swear because you don't want anyone going and grabbing someone's cloak and claiming it's his. But now he's coming to teach me, this one says it's all mine, this one's all mine, and the reason we make him swear because we really believe that they both lifted it up together. We really believe that they both lifted it up together. The question is, and that's coming to teach me, that if they lift it up together, it's a good acquisition. They both really acquired it, and that's why we divide it. But if you're going to say that I can't acquire it for someone else, then lifting it up together, it should belong to neither of them. Because I lifted up only half of it. The other half, as far as I'm concerned, is still lying on the floor. Unless I say that my friend lifted it up for him and for me. So I have the power to lift up for someone else. That's the proof. The Gemara says, but you can't say that. Well, Kim, though, we already explained that the Reish, the Metziah, the Sefer Mekach Memka, the two cases of the Mishnah, talking about two different cases. It's not a repetition. The first one is talking about a case of lost and found. The second one is talking about they bought. This one claims you sold to me, and this one claims you sold to me. So from which part of the Mishnah is he proving it from? Ella Misefa, from the end of the Mishnah. Zeh Mekula Shali, Zeh Mechatzah Shali. This one says the whole garment is mine. This one says half. I agree that only half of the garment is mine, half is yours, but not the whole. Hasulam Ali, what do you have to teach me? It's the same principle. What do you have to teach me? You can bring me another case. This one says 3/4 is mine. This one says 1/4 is mine. We get the point. Now the Mishnah is Seder from this excellent Mishnah has come to teach me. Shemamina comes to teach me. Rashi explains that the reason that he's coming to teach me that we assume that they both lifted it up. This one lifted it up, I guess, 3/4, and this one lifted up 1/4. And therefore we divide it in that way. He gets 3/4 and he gets 1/4. And we have to say that the lifting up is a proper lifting. We don't consider it like it's still dragging on the ground and nobody lifted it up and it's a free and anyone can take it. So this proves the point of Rambam Bar Chama that I have the right to lift up a lost item, a lost object, and acquire it for someone else, even if it's not for me. Even though it's a disadvantage to everyone else. How do we know that the case of he says it's all mine, he says half of it is mine? It's talking about a case of lost and found. Maybe it's talking about a case of sale. He says we both bought together with partners. The other says no, I bought it exclusively. If you're going to say what's it coming to teach me then? No, it's I need it. I would think the one who says half of it is mine, you should believe him, because he's like returning a lost object. If I return a lost object, you believe him even without a note. Because if he's lying, he could have just kept it. I'm coming to you and I'm saying I found your loyabja. You say no, you didn't find $5. You find $10. I don't have to swear. If I'm a liar, are you kidding me? Why do I have to tell you in the first place? You have no idea that I found it. I'll just pocket it. So why bother? I must be telling the truth. So also over here, if he's a liar, why don't you believe him? If he's a liar, let him just say, the whole thing is mine. If the whole thing belongs to the other and he's not lying and he knows that he's lying and he's just trying to steal, why claim half of the garment? Take the whole thing. So he must be telling the truth. That's what you would think. So you don't have to make him swear. Just divide it, give him half, and give him half. Why do you make him swear? Why are you only giving him a quarter? That's what the Mishnah has to come to teach me. That's what he has to come to teach me, that that no, we only give him a half of a half. He only gets a quarter, and they have to swear. Kamash Malon, Dayirumi Kamayit. Really, he is lying. But he saw, but he thinks to himself, if I'm going to say the whole thing belongs to me, knowing that nothing belongs to me, Binish Tabui, they're going to make me swear. So let me be clever. Let me claim half is to me. So I look innocent. I look like I'm telling the truth. Everyone will say, hey, he must be telling the truth. He must be an honest guy. If he's a liar, if he's a thief, then why go for half? Go for the whole thing. So he must be telling the truth. So give me half without a note. So therefore you can prove from the extra case, maybe the extra case is not coming to teach me not talking about lost and found, that to teach me that I have the power to acquire a lost item for someone else, but it's coming to teach me that even in the case of selling and buying and selling, that we don't believe him just because he's a Meshav Aveda. We don't believe him because maybe he is a faker and he's doing it cleverly and he really is lying and he's doing it intentionally. He's doing it calculating. He's calculating. So it doesn't mean he's telling the truth. Maybe he's just a very calculating son of a gun. And he's lying, so we have to make him swear, and we only get half of what he claims. So from where do you learn this law of Rami Bar Chama? Ella, Marsh Maha, from the end of the Mishnah. Two people are riding the animal. Why does he have to give me another case? We get the case, we get the principle. Two people are arguing, two people are grabbing onto something, holding onto something. I have no reason to assume one is right and one is wrong because they're both in front of us and they're both holding onto the item. So you divide it, you split it, and they make them swear. Why does he have to come to give me another case? There's extra mission coming to teach me. So you might ask, no, how do I know? Dilma, perhaps, Hakamashon, the mission is coming to teach me the Reich of Namikon. I wouldn't know that riding is considered like an acquisition, like I'm holding, like it belongs to me. Maybe I'm just getting a ride, maybe I just paid to get a ride. How does that demonstrate ownership? The mission has come to teach me that riding is considered is demonstrating ownership. Elam is safe from the end of the mission. If they both agree to each other, they admit that they only have half, and they're both like partners in it. Or they're witnesses who can testify who picked it up first or who bought it. So then the Mishnah says you don't need to swear, you just split it down the middle. So Bemai, what case are we talking about? If it's a case where they bought something and they're arguing who bought it, who purchased it. Yeah. That if they both bought it together, they're partners, that you divide it. You divide it without an oath. Oh, writing, by the way, is coming to teach me. He said earlier, writing is coming to teach me that you acquire it through writing. You would think to acquire an animal, because we're talking about it was lost and found, so they acquired. You acquire an animal by pulling it. Sitting on an animal, what am I doing? So this is a big chiddush, a big novelty. That just sitting on the animal, sitting on a live animal, you cause the animal to move. You cause a movement. So even though, so it's considered like an acquisition. So that's the mission to come to teach me. But the last case, he says if they both admit, if it's a case of they bought it, they both admit that they purchased it together, so what's the mission coming to teach me? Of course, you're partners. You're both admitting to each other, so go enjoy it, split it. Of course you don't have to swear. So what does it come to teach me? Sure, he's coming to teach me a case where they both found it together. That's what he's coming to teach me. They both admit that they both lifted it up together. How is that effective? How could you say, let them divide it? Let a stranger come and take it away from both of them because neither of them acquired it. Because if you're going to say that I cannot acquire, if I lift up a lost item, I cannot acquire it from my friend. So when you lifted up your half, fine. You only lifted up half. The other half, as far as you're concerned, is still lying on the ground. You never lifted up. You never acquired it. Your friend doesn't have the power to lift it up for you because you're depriving everyone else. So his lifting is only effective for himself, not for his friend. So as far as his friend is concerned, the other half is still lying on the ground, so your friend never acquired it. You never acquired it, because you only lifted it up half. Your lifting it up is only effective for yourself. The other half, your friend is grabbing onto, and your friend cannot lift it up for you. His lifting is meaningless, because he's depriving everyone else. So this proves Rami Bachama's point, you must say that if you lift it up for your friend, you have the power to lift it up to acquire for them. So therefore, since each one is acquiring it for himself and for his friend, so each one, the entire garment is lifted up for them. It's a good acquisition, and they both acquire it, and they both acquire 50. So a third party can't just come, a stranger can't come and take it away from them. It belongs to both of them. They split it down the middle. And Rava responds, Rava Amalach, Migay, Nafshan, no, it's not a proof. Really, I can tell you that you cannot lift it up for your friend. You cannot acquire a lost item for your friend because you're hurting everyone else in the process. You can't be an agent for someone else when you're hurting other people. You can do it for yourself. You can acquire it for yourself. You come first, looking out for number one. But you can't act as an agent for your friend when you're hurting other people. But in this case, since you're acquiring it for yourself, since you're already acquiring a half for yourself, so if I'm already lifting up for myself, it's effective for myself, so it's also effective in this case for my friend. So my lifting it up is also effective for my friend. So for my friend, it's considered that the entire garment is lifted up, and for me, it's considered that my entire garment is lifted up, because my friend lifted up for himself, and it's effective for himself. Therefore, his lifting up for me is also effective, and therefore, they both acquire it. It says in the Mishnah, and that's the extra mission. That's the extra mission coming to teach me, according to Rabbi. The extra mission is coming to teach me that even though in general you cannot acquire it for your friend, but this is the exception, since your lifting up is effective for yourself, your half. So I can lift up my half also for my friend. Okay. Then the mission says, two people are riding together. Rabbi Yosef says, Rabbi Yehuda said to me, Shamet me no the mashmul tarti. I heard from Shmuel two laws. One, rachuv, someone rides in an animal. And the second law, manig, if someone leads an animal. He said, chad kani, chad loikani. One of them, it's a good acquisition. One of them, it's not a good acquisition. I don't remember which one he said is a good acquisition. And which one Shmuel said is not a good acquisition. Gemara says, let's clarify this. Hechadam, what are we talking about? If you're going to say, Rachav lechudim, manig lechudim, just the act of riding, or just the act of leading, and he said one of them is a good acquisition, one of them is not, how could you say that? What's the doubt? Manig lechudim, ikamandam lekani, is anyone in the world who holds that leading an animal is not a good acquisition? That's pulling it. If I'm leading the animal, I'm pulling it. Pulling is the best acquisition. What do you mean it's not a good acquisition? What's the doubt? He says clearly in the Mishnah, if you remember Kiddushin. No, there is an opinion, Rav Shimon holds, that you have to lift up the animal. You cannot acquire it just by pulling. But our Mishnah says that riding, pulling is a good acquisition. Even though our Mishnah also says that riding is a good acquisition. Riding could also mean that I'm kicking it and making the animal go, or riding and I'm just sitting in it. So therefore, it's not clear. So from the Mishnah, it's clear that leading the animal, making the animal go, moving the animal, pulling the animal, even though Rabbi Shimon says it's not a good acquisition. Now Mishnah holds clearly it is a good acquisition. So I'm not sure which one he meant. So what do you mean? What do you mean you don't know which one he meant? If he only said one is good, surely he means riding is good, leading is good, and sitting on the animal is no good. What's your doubt? Ella, rather, we're talking about the doubt was both. Two people. One is sitting on the animal, and one is pulling the reins. So I don't know which one. One of them acquires it, one of them isn't. My, which one is better? Rachav Adiv, the toughest, because he's sitting on it, he's grabbing hold of the animal, his legs are wrapped around the animal. So maybe his acquisition is more effective. If it's one or the other, which one is more effective? They're both doing it together. Which one is more effective? Who acquires it? Dilma, perhaps Mani Gadiv, maybe no, the one who's pulling it, Azal Machmasi, it's going, it's moving because of him that he's pulling it. And that's the best. That's better than other acquisitions. Pulling it, actually pulling it. So even though riding itself does acquire it, sitting on the animal, riding it does acquire it, but in the place, we have them both riding and pulling at the. So who really acquired it? In that case, the riding overrides, the pulling the animal overrides the one who's riding the animal.
You can't, but they're going to say in the
animal. Only good because by you sitting on the animal, it causes the animal to move a drop. The animal has to move a drop. But pulling the animal is moving a lot. Surely it's superior than.
You mean, in other words, when they're both.
Our Mishnah, each one is arguing that I acquired it alone, single handedly. Everyone agrees that riding acquires it and pulling acquires it. The question is if they both happen simultaneously. That was Shmuel's question. Then which one is superior?
For sure. But
so he said one of them acquires it and one of them doesn't. One of them is a superior acquisition. It's not that they acquire it together.
Right.
If they're both riding it, they acquire it together. They're both pulling it, they acquire it together. But if one is riding and one is pulling, that's the question. One of them does acquire, the other one doesn't. Because one is superior. So that's the question. Is riding superior because he's grabbing hold of it? The animal, or is acquiring, or is pulling superior because he pulls the animal.
Leader, right?
He's leading the animal. Rabbi Huda said to me, Nechzanan, let's try to figure it out. And Buddha says, I can't remember, but let me try to figure it out. Which one is which? Which one it is?
Maybe the
because it's not, because we learned in the Mishnah, we learned in Kaloyim, Hamanik, whoever leads an ox and a donkey together, you get lashes, right? You're not allowed to pier two animals together. You're not allowed to plow with an axe and a donkey together. Two animals, two species together. And if someone is sitting in the wagon that's attached to a axe and a donkey, you get lashes just for sitting in the wagon. Why? Because since the animal feels that there's a heavy weight sitting in the wagon, so the animal will prompt the animal to move. Right. So you cause the animal to move, so you get lashes. Rabbi Meir argues. Say Yeshua because he says, just sitting in the wagon, you don't get any lashes because you didn't do anything. I didn't lead the animal, I'm just sitting. And Shmuel said in this mission, Shmuel says you have to reverse the names and of the opinions. Attach the names, the wrong opinion. You have to say Chum and Peyton's. The rabbis say that one sits in the wagon is exempt. He didn't do anything. He's just sitting. And
the
mayor
lashes,
said,
don't they
no, not if he's just sitting, according to the rabbis.
Wait, if one sits on a wagon,
we're talking about if he's just sitting. The rabbis say no.
Attached
and the mayor
to the
says
Kalayim,
yes.
He receives 40 lashes. It says
one. That's one opinion. That's an argument. He just switches the name. He says,
exempts the one sitting.
So he says it's the opposite. Right. Shmuel says the exact opposite. Rabbi Meir, there's an argument, but it's Rabbi Meir who says he gets lashes, and the rabbis say you exempt the lashes. Okay. So Shmamina, what do we see from here? Since he wants to make the halacha like the rabbis, right? Why does he switch it around? Because we follow the majority opinion. So to Shmuel, it was very clear and very simple that just sitting, it doesn't do anything. And therefore you're exempt from lashes. Just riding alone, you don't acquire it. Nothing happens. The if acquiring alone doesn't do it, surely riding when at the same time that someone else is pulling, surely it's the one who pulls who acquires it. So that's surely what Rabbi Huda said. I mean, what Shmuel said, that when someone is riding and someone is pulling, who acquires it? The one who's pulling, not the one who's riding. Because the one who's riding, even alone, he doesn't acquire it. Many times, Amrit Lan, you said, let's try to figure it out. You said this. You never said that Rabbi Yehuda himself said it. And he himself answered his own question, his own doubt. Now you're telling us the name of Rabbi Yehuda. You said this in your own name. You never told us this is Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm late. Rabbi said, Abaya, Ibra, the truth is Rabbi Yehuda said it. I remember that I said to him, Heche Pashat Ma, how can you bring a proof? Rachuv mi Yoishu. How can you bring a proof? Riding from sitting in a wagon. Yoishu, Thomas Maseda, the one who's sitting in a wagon, he's not grabbing hold to the reins. Rachuv Teichuv Maseda, the one who's riding is holding on to the reins. So therefore, that's why you should acquire it, because he's holding on to the reins. Which, with the reins, I could pull the animal. I can get the animal to go, to gallop. Bambali, and he said, Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Tavayim Seder Lekani. And Rabbi Yehuda answered, because Rabbi Shmuel both hold, that just grabbing on the reins doesn't acquire anything. So it doesn't matter. There's no distinction between sitting on the animal and sitting in the wagon. Even if you're sitting on the animal itself and you're holding, grab hold of the reins, you don't acquire it. So it's all the same. So therefore, Shmuel holds that the laws like the rabbis, he switches around that the majority, the halacha is that sitting in the wagon doesn't do anything. Even though you cause the animal to make a slight movement. So sitting in the wagon, so sitting in the animal is the same thing. It doesn't either acquire. Yigadami, others say, Amalei Abai the Rabbi Yisrael. It wasn't Rabbi Yisrael who asked Rabbi Yehuda. Abai said to Rabbi Yisrael, Hey, chepashen mar. It wasn't Rabbi Yosef said he remembers that I challenged Rabbi Yehuda. Abaya challenged Rabbi Yosef. Hey, Chepashamar, how could you clarify this din? Rachuv, Yosef, how could you compare riding on the animal from sitting in the wagon? Yosef, talks about Maseder, Achim Maseder, Amalei says, Hachitane, Idi Maseder Lekane. That's what Idi, the name of the wise one, Maseder, holding on to the reins, doesn't matter. Doesn't make any difference. So sitting on the animal, sitting on the wagon is the same thing. We also learn, Meseda, if you grab hold of the reins in order to acquire the animal, Mechaveda, Kana, you do acquire. But Kana, someone else is selling it to you. So there's another mind here, there's another person here who's acquiring it to you. So handing over the reins is a valid acquisition. But if you find a lost object or was a property of a, belonged to a convert who has no ears and he dies, so everything he owns is now, everything he possesses is now ownerless, on your own, just grabbing hold of a rein doesn't mean anything. Someone else can come and take it away from you. You didn't acquire anything. What it says, my Lashon Meseda. Why is Meseda, rein called Meseda? Manav, Idi, that's the name of a wise one. The rabbi, a rabbi called Idi Azrali, explained to me. Meseda is ka'adam ha'meseda davalachay, like I'm passing on something, I'm transmitting something to you. I'm giving the animal over to you, to sell it to you. So I'm handing it over to you. So I'm handing over the reins, meaning I'm handing over, like you're handing over the reins of power. I'm handing it over to you. I understand if you hand it over, if his friend hands it over to you and he's selling it to you, you acquire it. Because there's someone who's giving it to you. The owner is handing you the reins. So therefore it's a good acquisition. Who's handing it over to him that he should acquire it? That's why it doesn't mean anything. Just lifting up a rein, it doesn't do anything. What did I do? Did I lift the animal? Did I pull the animal? I did nothing. I just lifted up a string. So no one is handing it to you. Therefore, it doesn't acquire it. Okay, Maisvi, now the Gemara is going to ask, and Rabbi Yehuda said that riding alone does not acquire. By his opinion, I mean, that Shmuel, yeah, he brings from Shmuel, that riding alone, sitting on the animal, or sitting on the wagon, doesn't acquire it. It's not an acquisition. Maisvi, I'll ask you a question.
So,
we learned in the Mishnah. Maisvi, I'll ask you. We learned now Mishnah. If two people are riding the animal, one is riding and one is leading. pulling. So it says clearly that it helps. Mani, who's a Mishnah follow? Ilemer Ameir. Ameir says sitting in a wagon, you're liable for lashes. After Yeshiv Kandi, if sitting in a wagon, you acquire. Surely if you ride. What's the Mishnah teaching me? Elalav, surely the Mishnah is like the rabbis who say that you're exempt. Sitting in a wagon, you don't get lashes because it's not considered an acquisition. You didn't do anything. But riding on the animal itself, you do acquire. So in other words, the court looks at them and says, you're both holding on to it. What are you both holding on to it? Let's say it was a lost item. The fact that you're riding it and you're leading it, you both acquired it together. So each one is a good acquisition. So we see that riding does acquire, not like Rabbi Huda said, like Shmuel said, that only one of them acquires it. The Mishnah says that both of them acquire it. Riding is good, and leading is good, and that's why they split it down the middle. So it's not like Shmuel says only one of them acquires it and the other one doesn't. No, even if it happens simultaneously. So the mother says, "Alcha Maiski, no, we're talking about it. A man, but he was kicking it with his legs. You know, you ever rode a horse or a donkey? You kick it with your legs and it starts moving. So it's the same as pulling. It's the equivalent of pulling. So they're both pulling it. That's why the Mishnah says that you divide it in half. You say that you both acquired it equally. But in a case where you're not kicking with your legs, you're just sitting on the animal, just the equivalent of sitting in the wagon. You're not touching the animal. You're far away from the animal. You're just sitting in the wagon. The wagon's being pulled by the animal. Just sitting in the wagon. The mayor says that it's considered as if you caused the animal to move. So then just sitting in the animal would be the same. And the rabbis would say that's not considered pulling. You don't get lashes. So sitting in the animal without kicking with your legs would be the same. It's not an acquisition. Anybody, that's the same as pulling. But it says, but today Gavni Mani is coming to teach me that there's two types of pulling. Maltaim, I would think, Rachav Adiv, kicking with your legs is better. The Mani, I'm sitting on the animal, I'm holding the rein, and I'm kicking it. So I have the best of both worlds, so surely that's superior. Kamashmala, no, they're both equal, they're both pulling the animal.